Shabbat Shalom. Father, I choose to humble myself in your awesome presence. You're the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Creator of the universe. I'm a mere man. I humble myself before you. Come, Holy Spirit, and anoint this message. Speak through me. I yield to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. For you are my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago, I spoke a message about the meaning of mirrors in the Bible. And I talked about how there's a mirror that we look in as natural men, and it shows us all of our flaws and imperfections, the weight and the burden of sin on our life as we live in the world and are assaulted by disease and sickness and evil in the world. And it pays a price. And we can see that in the mirror, and it reflects to us our need for a Savior. And the Holy Spirit showed me to call that mirror the mirror of salvation. It happens once. Once you're saved, that's over and done with. But you're still a person living in the world, and you still have sin and evil all around you. And sometimes things happen, someone says something that offends you, and we said that that's a time to look in the mirror and say, what is it about me that caused me to take offense at what that person said, and allow God to come in and heal you of that portion of your own character that needs healing. And I call that mirror the mirror of sanctification. And it's something that happens throughout our entire life as a believer. And then the final mirror is the mirror when we look in and we see Yeshua reflected back at us, which is our ultimate destiny as believers. It's in 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. It says, we behold as in a mirror the very image of Yeshua. And that, I call that the mirror of glory, because we're being changed into his image from glory to ever-increasing glory. And strangely enough, this whole service, the things have been brought up about sanctification, and the title of my message is Your Sanctification. Funny how God does things like that. But so I want to focus on more about this second mirror, the mirror of sanctification, the mirror that changes us into a holy people set apart for God. And first I want to ask a question. How many of you understand what I mean when I say that the kingdom of God is already but not yet? Quite a few. The kingdom of God, when God looks at us after we're saved, he sees the image of Yeshua in us already. But we know that it's not yet, because we're still living in the world. We still have a corrupt body that's failing over time. Those of us who are getting older can feel the effects of that aging process. And but our destiny is to have a resurrected body that lasts for eternity. And so God sees that in us now, but we know that it's not yet. At the same time, Yeshua paid the price for redemption, and we are completely redeemed. And yet in our life and in our lifestyle, we don't act as if we're completely redeemed, and it doesn't reflect in how we live life on a daily basis. So we're redeemed already because Yeshua said it's finished, there's nothing more to do, but it's not yet because we haven't manifested the full power of all his redemptive plans in our life yet. And that's what we're working on here on earth. Paul said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I think what he meant, partially, was you need to become totally sanctified and holy, and it's a process. God sees us as holy now, and yet we're not holy completely while we're still living on earth and we're still surrounded by sin and evil. And it takes a toll on us. And so we have to learn how to become sanctified. And this is good news. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and in honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. So if you say that you're a follower of Yeshua, but you reject God's plan for sanctification and go on sinning, you're not rejecting people, you're rejecting God. Let's see what happened to people who rejected God. They had to be in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for every day that they gave an evil report and when they rejected God. Some of the people who griped, the earth opened up and swallowed them. The people who lied to the Holy Spirit were stricken down immediately, Ananias and Sapphira. I don't think that that's a position that you want to see yourself in. So, if the will of God is for us to be sanctified, and he already sees us that way, but we know it's not yet in our life, what I want to talk about is what the Word of God says as to how we can go about becoming a sanctified people set apart for God. We're going to look at a whole bunch of scriptures fairly quickly, I hope. But first, I'm going to define sanctification. I know that you all know what it is, but I'm going to read the definition for myself. Sanctified in Greek is hagiadzo, H-A-G-I-A-D-Z-O, Strong's number 37. It means to hallow, set apart, dedicate, consecrate, separate, make holy. Hagiadzo as a state of holiness is the opposite of things that in biblical times were called unclean and were had to go outside the village and not be in contact with people. In the Old Testament, things, places, and ceremonies were either clean or they weren't clean. And they use the same word. But in the New Testament, it describes a manifestation of life produced by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Because his Father has set him apart, Yeshua is appropriately called the Holy One of God. And he wants us to be holy as he is holy, because he is the first fruit of many brethren, many, many, many. And the first fruit is the promise of a greater harvest to come. So there's going to be many people who ultimately are sanctified and holy and join Yeshua in this millennium that's to come when he reigns for 1,000 years. And I want all of us to be among that group. So how are we to become sanctified? Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 16. 2 Thessalonians 2. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Therefore, brethren, brothers and sisters, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistles. Now may our Lord Yeshua the Messiah himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. So it says that we are going to be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit when you believe in the truth of the gospel message. Then look at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Yeshua by the Spirit of our God. So one way that we are sanctified and justified is through the Holy Spirit. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verses 3 through 7. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Yeshua the Messiah, our Savior, that having been justified or sanctified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So I hope you're seeing that one way that we become sanctified is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I'm going to do one more, 2 Corinthians 3. This is the mirror verse that I love so much. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it's the Spirit who's transforming, and it's the Spirit who's sanctifying us. Now let's look at John 17 and verse 17. John chapter 17, verse 17 through 19. This is the second way that we're sanctified. This is Yeshua speaking. He's praying to the Father, and he said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So another way that we are sanctified is by the word of God and the truth that's in the Word. And that's why it's so important for us to spend time in the Word and know and have some of that truth in us, so that when the world calls upon us or the Lord calls upon us to touch someone else in the world with something that they need, a ministry, he can bring out what you've put in. If you haven't put it in, he can't bring it out. Let's look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verses 24 through 27. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Messiah, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Messiah also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. And that word for word is rhema, by the revelation word that comes when you study the Word of God, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So we're sanctified by the word of truth, the truth that's in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Just like we are sanctified by the word of God. That's why we pray over our food, Lord, sanctify this to our bodies and make it good for us, because it says in God's word that things are sanctified by the word of God, and nothing is unclean or not good for us if we pray over it and it's sanctified by the word of God. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is Yeshua speaking again. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's our way to the Father. He's the truth about God that came into the world to show the world the visible image of invisible God. And he's the life of God that's available to us when he comes into us and lives through us. We have a life that leads to death without Yeshua, a life of sin and darkness. But when we receive him through faith, he gives us a life of God that's a life of light and of doing good, and his burdens are easy. His yoke is light. He makes whatever is happening in your life that you're able to go through it. He doesn't change your circumstances. He changes you in your circumstances so that you can walk through the circumstances with the peace and joy of the kingdom of God that's promised in your life at the time, even though your circumstances are the same. Now, there's times when people say, why did this have to happen to me? Oh, I can't bear it. But, you know, if you look in the mirror and you start to ask yourself, Lord, what can I learn about this? How can you show me your love through this situation? Can you make it possible for me to walk through these difficult circumstances and hold my head up and not lose faith and not turn away from you by your grace? You said to Paul that your grace was sufficient for him. Is it sufficient for me, Lord? Show me. And he will. He'll come and he'll show you, because he who promises is faithful, it says in his word. He's faithful. There is no circumstance that you can't get through if God is with you and his word is in you. There is no circumstance. You know, Paul said, unless I die, but even if I die, to die is gain, because then I'll be with Yeshua. But if I don't die, if I have to go through all this suffering, then I count it as a blessing that I may lay hold of that for which Yeshua laid hold of me, that I can have the power of his resurrection working in my life, because when I'm at my weakest, he's at his strongest. So he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through him. But he's the way to the Father, he's the truth about God, and he's the life of God that can live in you and be yours if you access it through faith in him. And you allow the sanctification process to continuously go on in your Christian walk or your messianic believing walk. It's not something that you're saved and now I don't have to do anything else except hide out in my church until Yeshua comes and raptures me out of here so I don't have to suffer any of the things that all those other people are going to suffer. It's not like that. If you think that that's what Christianity or being a disciple of Yeshua is, I wish you a lot of luck. And I do not believe in luck. You know, but that's all you're going to have to stand on, because he's going to say, be gone, I never knew you. You have to have a relationship with the Lord, and you have to look in the mirror of sanctification on a regular basis and find out what he needs to heal in you today, what he needs to change in you today, what he needs to deliver you from today, what he needs to break you of today, so that you can be a better person tomorrow, that he can use when the time gets rugged and he really needs a soldier to stand up and do something for his kingdom. You'll be ready because you weren't afraid to go through the sanctification process. Sanctification by the word of truth. Colossians 3, 12 through 16. Colossians 3. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's what a sanctified group of believers would be doing for one another. And that's how it happens, by letting the word of God dwell in you richly. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Our friend Tim Hebe, the director of Good News for Israel, the Reverend Tim, used to love to say, Hebrews, Shebrews. Don't forget those Gentiles. Yeah, Chris Hebe. I'm sorry, Chris. All right, Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. I hope that that isn't true of any of us, but I'm reading it anyway to help make my point. We're sanctified by the word of truth, and if we're not in it, if we're not growing up to become mature people. When it says perfect, it means spiritually mature. That word perfect, it doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. Jesus was perfect, but not us. But it means spiritually mature. And we need to be spiritually mature believers. Let's look at Romans 12. Romans 12, starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, part of presenting yourself as a living sacrifice to God is to be willing to look in the mirror and ask the question of the Holy Spirit, what do I need to change, heal, or be set free of myself so that I can relate to these other people as a saint of the Most High God is called to relate to them, and not as a person in the world who's taking every little hurt and hurting back and every little insult and insulting back, or who goes and gossips about someone. You saw what happens today. Our brother Frank was courageous enough to share with us something that helped everyone. And what he said was that someone came and told him about an offense, and the gossiping that happened between that brother and Frank caused him to take on the offense even though it wasn't his. And it caused a division between him and Rabbi that lasted for years. That's the harm that gossiping can cause. But if you come and present yourself as a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service, and you start having your mind transformed, how does that happen? Well, when you get the thoughts that you used to think in the old way before you started looking in the mirror and getting healed and set free, when those thoughts start to come into your mind, you turn them over to Yeshua and say, Yeshua, take these stinking thinking thoughts out of my head, and then you replace it with truth from the Word of God. You say, I am sanctified by the Word of God. I am the righteousness of God and Messiah. He died so that I could be set free of these things, and I don't have to be bound by them anymore. Verse 3 of Romans 12. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Messiah and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives, give with liberality, he who leads, lead with diligence, he who shows mercy, do it cheerfully, the Word of God says. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kind and affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, Yeshua said that whatever we do to even the least of people is as if we're doing it unto him. Think about that next time you cross the street to get away from some beggar on Hennepin Avenue downtown. Whatever you do to the least of these, it's as if you did it unto Yeshua. We need to start seeing people the way he sees them. And we need to start seeing ourselves as the servant of all, because that's the way to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 23. This is a hard one. Starting in verse 16, it says, woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? What these scriptures are saying to me is that we can be sanctified by the temple and by the altar. The temple of God has become our body. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's no temple in Jerusalem. But it's not what we do indirectly, the clothes we wear or how we look or what kind of body you've been given. That's not what's important. What's important is what's in your heart. God sees your heart. It's your heart that is being sanctified, not your skin or your hair or lack of it. It's your heart, okay? your spirit. And there's a scripture in Psalm 118, verse 27, that says, bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Remember in Romans 12:1, it said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. But when we bind that sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar, it's like we're making a deeper commitment. We're telling God, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to tie myself to the altar with cords until you complete your work in me. No matter what happens, I'm going to be right here, willing and able to give myself to you. That's what it means to bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. And the altar is what sanctifies. The altar is the willingness to present your sacrifice. Catherine Kuhlman used to say, God doesn't want golden vessels, and God doesn't want silver vessels. God wants yielded vessels. And the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. In our own weak humanity, we have the treasure of the Holy Spirit of God, so that the awesome power that's distributed and displayed in us is of God and not of mere men. And people will know it, because how could a mere man do the impossible, awesome, miraculous things that God does working through us? I can't heal anybody, but God working through me has caused many people to be healed. I can't cast out demons, but the Lord, the Spirit of God working through me, has cast out a demon. And I can't touch and change the lives of people by preaching a word of my own, but when the Holy Spirit anoints the word and speaks through me, then lives can be changed and peoples can be brought, raised up and exalted, because I've yielded myself to Him. And I say, I get on my knees before I get up here and I pray, Lord, help me get out of your way. Take away my own need, my own desire, and let everything be about you. I give myself to Him every time. I won't get up here if I don't, because I cannot do anything on my own.
That's right.
That's what it means to bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar and let the altar sanctify us. It's not enough to present your body a living sacrifice if you're not willing to go all the way to the end. I had a paper I was assigned for Bible school where I had to interview two widely different clergy people from different denominations. And I went and interviewed a Roman Catholic priest who was a charismatic believer. And then I came and interviewed Rabbi Ed. I thought, that's pretty different, you know, a Messianic Jew and a charismatic Catholic. But there was a lot of similarities. And one thing that they said to me was, if you're going to start something with someone in ministry, you have to be willing to see it all the way through. And what I'm saying to you is, if you're going to start to give yourself to the Lord, you have to be willing to see it all the way through and look in the mirror and allow the sanctification process to take place in you, because that's what God wants. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, I'm going to start in verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us through the veil that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. So we are, another way that we're sanctified is by the blood of Yeshua that ushered in a new covenant. We're sanctified by His blood. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Verse 26. Let me read that one again. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour God's adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So in verse 29, it says, the blood of the covenant by which we are sanctified. So we're sanctified by the blood of the new covenant. And look back in chapter 10 here in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there was a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Therefore, when he came into the world, Yeshua, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God.'" By that will, in verse 10 it says, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua the Messiah once and for all. That's what I mean when I say that the kingdom of God is already, but not yet. It says we have been sanctified, and then it says we are being sanctified in the same chapter by the same offering. We have been sanctified by his sacrifice, by him offering himself and shedding his blood. And we are being sanctified by that same blood and that same offering continually while we're here on earth. I don't understand it perfectly, but I know it's true because it's in the Word of God. And then turn back to chapter 9, verse 11. But Messiah came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So we can be sanctified. First, we were sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We're sanctified by the Word and the truth that's in the Word. We're sanctified by the altar when we give ourselves as a living sacrifice. And we're sanctified by the blood of the covenant, the blood of the cross, the blood of Yeshua. Now look at Acts chapter 28. Becoming sanctified isn't so daunting when we see all the ways God provided for it to happen in our lives. Amen. Acts 26, verse 18. Now this is one line, one verse of Scripture that has the entire gospel contained within it. The Apostle Paul is testifying before Agrippa in Caesarea, and he's telling them exactly what happened when Yeshua encountered him on the road to Damascus. And I'll start in verse 16. "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And this is the gospel. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So another way that we're sanctified is by faith that Yeshua is the Son of God, that he's the Messiah, that he's exactly who he said he was. The Pharisees and the scribes believed that he was who he said he was. In behind closed doors, and when they talked among themselves, they believed that he was sent from God. But in public, they denied it and sought to persecute and kill him, because if he was sent by God, he would expose and make evident to all the people the total religiosity and hypocrisy of their religious spirit that they had. That they would lose their position. If the greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all, then how could they stand on the corner reciting verses from memory in their robes and have the seat right in front, you know, and have a lifestyle that for the honored, and if they had to give all that up, you know, they didn't want to give up what they had. And in John chapter 3, right after Yeshua said, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life," he said, "Those who don't believe in me have condemned themselves because they love their lifestyle more than me. And the light came into the world and they rejected it and wanted darkness because their deeds were evil." And that's the scribes and the Pharisees who wound up killing him along with the Roman soldiers and others, because they wanted their lifestyle more than they wanted the gift that God had sent them. But we can only survive in the world and endure to the end and have the promises of the kingdom of God if we have faith and we maintain our faith throughout any circumstance. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. Helps if you can read your own notes, right? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time." Isn't that beautiful? We're being kept by the power of God through our faith so that when the end comes, we can be revealed as the brothers and sisters of Yeshua in all of the glory of our new resurrected body. Rabbi Ed mentioned faith, hope, and love from 1 Corinthians 13. Well, you know, when Yeshua returns, faith will become sight. We'll see the unseen things that we've never seen before. And hope will become experience, because we will experience the things we once only hoped for. But love will always remain and is the greatest of all, because it's the one thing that doesn't change from this life to the eternal life that's to come. It's the love of God. That's the only thing that remains. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Yeshua the Messiah, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul." That's pretty good. Let's look at 1 John 5, verse 4. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I have one more. 1 Corinthians 1. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, and verse 30. It says, but of him, capital H, which some translation would say, but of his doing, you are in Messiah Yeshua, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So we're sanctified when we're in Messiah. Messiah became for us sanctification, but it only happens when we're in him. Now in Ephesians 1, it says we've received all spiritual blessings in Messiah. And that when we're in Messiah, we're presented before the Father holy and blameless in his love. So he sees us as the way that we're going to be. And we have to access by faith and trust and be in him and find ourselves in him. Yeshua said in 1 John 4:17 that as it says that as he is, so are we in this world. As Yeshua is, so are we in this world. Now in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, it says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Messiah Yeshua, who are called to be saints, with all who are in every place, call on the name of Yeshua our Lord, both theirs and ours. So when we're in Yeshua, we're sanctified and we're called to be saints. That's a good thing. 1 John 5, go back to 1 John 5:19-20. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, and in his Son, Yeshua the Messiah. This is the true God and eternal life. So the apostle that Yeshua loved in his old age wrote epistles to the people who were part of the church in Jerusalem and in the world at that time. And he wanted us to know that we are in him and we are in God. And that's why we can be sanctified. We can have our faith that is the victory that overcomes the world. That there's going to be all these things. They had Gnosticism in their day. You know, we have universalism and we have humanism. And we have relativism. Those are the modern versions of Gnosticism in our world. Colossians chapter 3. 2-4. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Messiah in God. When Messiah, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Messiah appears again, you also will appear with him in glory. Romans 8, verses 28 through 30. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Your destiny is to be glorified into the image and likeness of Yeshua the Messiah. The psalmist David saw this when he wrote Psalm 17. Verse 15, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. It's just incumbent upon us to be willing to look into that mirror of sanctification and to do the work of dying to ourselves so that God can live through us every day, sometimes many times a day. Smith Wigglesworth once said there are 1,000 things in the human heart that have to be broken daily. Have your mirror of sanctification always handy. And when somebody says something that rubs you the wrong way, look in the mirror and say, Lord, what is it that I need to heal in myself? How can I change so that, when that person says the same thing next time, it won't rub me the wrong way again? Instead of taking offense at them, get yourself healed and set free. That's the way to end offense in a body like this. Is to everyone own their own stuff, get healed and set free. The way that Brother Frank modeled for us earlier. Father, I pray that the mirror of sanctification will bless and change each person into the image of Yeshua according to your promise, and that our faith will not waver regardless of circumstances and will carry us all the way through to the end, that we may stand before you as part of the bride of Messiah, invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that we'll one day look into your face and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. You didn't waver. You were willing to be sanctified and be changed into my image. We ask this in the mighty name of Yeshua, our Messiah. Amen.